But you got to scrub those hands. You've got to interlace your fingers and scrub. Scrub your fingertips, you know, that touches everything from buttons to elevator buttons, everything else. Wash the back and the front of your hands. You're doing it for yourself. You're doing it for your family. You're doing it for the whole community to stop community spread. We have to keep each other safe in this very dire time. I'm Amy Goodman. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amy. It is 6 o'clock. You're listening to radio station WUSB Stony Brook. It's Tuesday evening. That means it's time for Off the Wall. Very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Manuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
that's me. That's me.
Yes, that's you. And you have a new microphone holder. That's good. That's
it's cool. Helping.
It looks good. Looks very professional.
It tries. Well, yeah. It's fooling you, yeah.
So how are you doing this week?
How am I doing? I'm in a good mood.
That's good.
It's harvest season.
That makes one of us.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, well, not that good, but what was bothering you?
Oh, I'm just freaking out. I'm freaking out. I have to have a nuclear stress test in a couple of days. You ever have one of those? I'm anti-nuclear, for one thing.
Does involve a bunker?
No, it doesn't. I wish. I brought it on myself. I went to the doctor, got a checkup, everything seemed fine. But I wanted to, get more of a checkup. I figured, I deserve it. And so I went to a cardiologist just because I figure every now and then you need to check things, make sure everything's okay. And he said, yeah, I think we should get something. We should get this checked out. Why? Why do we need to get this checked out? Yeah, he sees little subtleties that my regular doctor didn't see, but I asked for it myself. So now I'm freaking out. What did he see? What's he concerned about? And what, I have to go through this four-hour test. Well, it's not really 4 hours of a test, but it takes 4 hours because you have to wait. And you torture yourself sometimes, and that's what I'm doing right now. I am torturing myself.
I had a similar thing. I had a test, and then the person that was administering it and giving me the results said, like, okay, well, you should go and get a full panel. And I was like, well, wait, this isn't the full... What am I getting tested? This is like half a test? Why? What does a full panel mean? I thought this was... Is this any panel?
Yeah, can't they do all that right where you are?
I don't know. Wow. I'm sure everyone's freaking out about healthcare because, well... It's being tied to this Supreme Court thing. Have you watched any
I've
of
been,
that?
Yeah, I've been. I haven't even had room in my head to think about that because I've just been doing everything.
It's a lot.
Everything from teeth. I had a vision checked. Regular physical. Through my insurance, as opposed to the last time when I didn't go through my insurance.
That's
and
the best way.
Cost thousands of dollars. Yeah, and now this, just so that everything is kind of figured. I got to do it before. The real apocalypse comes.
Yeah, the landslide of uncoverage.
Well, no, that's not that. It's the pandemic, wave two. It's you won't be able to leave your house. I don't really believe that, but I do want to get it all out of the way.
Oh, sure, yeah. Sure. And especially with all that risk.
So I've got that to freak out about over the next couple of days. And so it's just, You should stay away from the internet and try to think about other things before you go through something like this.
The internet is a scary place.
I remember I did this once before, like 15 years ago. I had one of those tests where they put you on a treadmill and they tell you to keep going, and they make it harder and harder, and they ask you about 30 seconds before you feel like you're going to pass out, tell us. How am I supposed to know when that is? But you're supposed to basically... say, okay, I can go another 30 seconds, and then I won't be able to go anymore 30 seconds before that happens. And that's how the test works.
That's how I've been feeling on my autumn bicycle rides here. I have been going and going, and then I'll get to a hill, and I think I can keep going, then it doesn't feel like it. And then I can just, kind of push through a little bit. I feel like, okay, that self-doubt kind of disappears. You just got to put one foot after the other, so to speak.
You do a lot more of that than I do, and I probably should do more.
It's hard. It's hard to get out the door sometimes, especially when you've been cooped up.
Yeah. A lot of people being cooped up, but there's no reason you can't have yourself taken care of and basically take care of yourself by exercising, eating right. All that stuff matters.
Not overeating either.
No.
The holidays. Can you imagine what's going on? We got all these gathering times.
Why do we have to gather? Why the gathering? I don't want to gather. I want to stay away. The feeling is mutual in many cases. So let's take a year off from the gathering.
Yeah, there's no sense of obligation this year, right? Because it's assumed,
it's
right?
It's bad enough now I'm going to get infected? Come on. It's a no-brainer. I'll sit at home and watch TV. I don't have to gather. I'll talk on the phone, if that.
Have like a microwavable turkey pot pie or something?
That sounds good. I love that. I can't even say the word. A cardiologist probably would frown upon it.
Oh, you're right.
I can't believe I have
like
a cardiologist.
It's full of sodium.
It feels so weird to say cardiologist. But I sought him out. It's not like I was directed. I said, no, I think I should do this.
Wait. You have a team of doctors now.
No, I don't have a team of doctors.
This is a squad.
No, it is not.
It's a squad.
They are not going to stand in front of the building and lie about me. They're not going to do that. Ooh. They're not even going to get in front of the building. They won't even tell me what's going on, I'll bet.
I don't recognize you anymore. Who are you?
Yeah, they said my appearance might change. I did say that.
Okay. So, well, it's good that we got that out because I'm sure a lot of other people. In fact, a woman from, I think it was Kaiser Health News, was talking about that today on one of my favorite programs, a call-in show.
Is this the C-SPAN redneck show?
No. Anyway. She was saying that a lot of people are really trying to book things, and it is serious because of the rising numbers and lack of the miracle cure or vaccine. I'm waiting for my free vaccine, actually. I'm wondering how that'll be sent. Is Santa going to bring that in a sleigh?
I don't know, but we got free flu vaccines, so there's that. We got our
flu everybody, shots. Get a flu shot if you're able to. Mm-hmm. That's a good idea, especially with the blustery, cold autumn weather. A lot of rain today here.
Yeah, one thing Obamacare brought us is free flu vaccines. Imagine that. Better hurry before they take that away.
Yeah. Take advantage. I mean, there are things in the ACA that you might not realize will really help you. Vision, I don't know. Is that covered?
Not in my case, but it is covered for many people. It's weird, though. Even the things that aren't covered, if you have insurance, the price goes way down, even if they don't cover it. It's so bizarre a system. For instance, if you go to a drugstore Your prescription isn't covered by your insurance company. You show your insurance card. They say, sorry, it's not covered, but the price has been negotiated down. I don't understand that way of doing business at all. So it's not covered, but yet I'm paying less. Sounds to me like it is covered to a degree, but it's not. This is why I don't work in insurance. One of many reasons.
It is complex, and that's actually one of the arguments with the ACA having been instituted. The point has been made that it was never refined, so a lot of the pitfalls and confusing parts of it and things that people critique about it, there was never an opportunity because the control of the Congress really never gave it a chance to be
exactly
ratified and changed technically.
If it had been done right from the beginning, we'd have a system that almost everybody would be swearing by, not at. And it wouldn't be facing this kind of constant challenge because people would see how well it could work. But Republicans have constantly stood in the way of that and tried to make it as awkward as possible, and they might just get what they wanted. And at the expense of all of us.
Did you know all the representatives, all the Congress members use the exchanges now?
Of course they do.
They're not on the government health plans?
Uh-huh. So they benefit from it, even the ones that want to destroy it.
Yeah. But they previously had government plans that, like, federal employees have.
Right.
Where you maybe, in some cases, have 100% coverage. And now representatives are actually opted into. They cannot take part in the federal health plans, and so they have to participate in the exchanges.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's why maybe they're eating more antacids and trying to destroy it. But moving on.
Yeah. It's speaking of the C-SPAN Redneck show, the debate was supposed to take place on Thursday, the second presidential debate. And that's been canceled because Trump got himself infected with COVID-19 and refused to participate in an online debate. I don't know why everybody's calling it a Zoom debate. Why would it be Zoom? They would simply use a satellite connection like anyone else would on TV and do it that way. They did that for one of the Nixon-Kennedy debates. They actually did that. I didn't know this. Back in 1960, they weren't in different places. You can do this. It's not hard. They do it all the time on network TV, on CNN. You see people arguing, going back and forth. They're in different parts of the world. So Trump said, no, it has to be in person. because I got COVID and I'm going to make sure as many other people get it as possible. And so now there's no debate because he refused to participate. There's going to be a town hall. But I had a question for you. The Steve Scully guy that was supposed to host it, what's with him? You heard about the scandal?
The latest I heard is that his account was hacked.
No,
that's
it was
what
not.
Saying.
Look,
that's
okay,
what
this
saying.
Is this is what happened.
You think it's a C-SPAN cover-up?
This is what happened. So while this was going on, he was supposed to be the moderator. I was looking forward to it because he's known as the most patient man in the world on C-SPAN, dealing with all the crazy people that call up. Why don't we ever call that show? We should. Do that sometime. So anyway, in the middle,
it'll open some parallel dimension.
It probably would. In the middle of all that, though, this tweet appeared with directed to Scaramucci, you know, Trump's old friend who now is his mortal enemy, basically saying, Scaramucci, should I reply to Trump? I think it was something like that. Apparently, I mean, this is how Twitter works. If you do that, you might think that it's only going to the person you're addressing, @Scaramucci, but no, everybody sees that. And it's not a direct message that nobody else sees.
Yeah, direct message is in a different part of the application, depending on whether you're using an app or
you got to click on the
website.
Other, yeah. And so it makes perfect sense that he was asking Scaramucci, should I reply to Trump making all these accusations? And so when that was revealed, hey, he's talking to Scaramucci, I don't see what the big deal was. What's wrong with talking to somebody and asking advice or even being friends? You can do that. It doesn't take away from your ability to be a journalist or a moderator. But instead, what Steve Scully did was claim that his account was hacked and that somebody broke in and asked that question of Scaramucci, somebody that he follows and somebody who follows him, so it makes sense that the two of them would be talking. Instead, blaming hackers? Really? Why? What? It's so easily proven that this is likely not what happened, and it just makes it seem underhanded when it wasn't underhanded.
So nothing else has emerged?
I haven't heard of anything, except Trump's having a field day with this. And
okay,
this is something
well,
that it's hard to take away from him because it's kind of bizarre.
So other hosts on C-SPAN are saying that they're going with the it was hacked story.
Really? They're all saying that?
As of this morning.
Okay, to what end? How does that work? So I'm going to break into Steve Scully's Twitter account and then send a fake direct message to Scaramucci, and that's the hack?
Isn't there like a idiom or like a rule or something, like not Occam's razor, but like the most logical thing is what is likely to have happened rather than something kind of harebrained like that.
So
I
what's
feel
the
like
most logical thing?
I think it's what you're saying. That
right.
There's perhaps a DM fail of sorts.
And Scaramucci replied. So he believed it. So if he believed it, then it's probably what actually happened. This is not something to be ashamed of. What you should be ashamed of is lying about it and making it seem like hackers did it. Again, though, how did he say that?
He could have played it off
but
that's what happened.
I have not seen him directly say that. I've just heard people say that's what he's claiming. So, I don't know. Maybe he said something sarcastically. Maybe he was brushing people off. Did you actually see him address this?
What Scully said?
Yeah.
No.
So, again, until I see that, I can't really judge his motives.
I think because it's such a hot, like, kind of intense subject, like, conversation in the wider public right now, and there is a sense of neutrality and
you can talk to people. You can talk. I mean, if he said Joe Biden, should I answer Trump? You know, that might be a little bit biased looking, but this is just somebody who's in the scene as well.
But because it's so charged, I think that's probably why he doesn't want to address it.
But again,
there's also accusations of him.
It's also just asking
being
a question.
On the payroll of Biden, which is completely.
He's on the
wrong.
Payroll of Biden?
That's the go to for all the rednecks, but it's really that he interned when he was a young, up and coming reporter and like participated as an intern on one of. Biden.
So that's got nothing to do with anything that happened ages ago.
It's brought up repeatedly. It's pretty tired. So anyway, I think
I just hate when people make things worse.
This.
I hate when people have a you know they're on high moral ground and they tear themselves down.
Yeah, it's kind of a rough situation, but anyway, I mean, so is there a third debate, too?
Yeah.
That's still on at this point.
I believe so. That's on the 22nd.
Okay.
And, yeah.
In the midst of this confirmation thing going on, which it will be ongoing until around then, right? I think that's when they're going to vote.
Supreme Court confirmation. You know, this, it's just, I'm struggling to find words to describe this, but it's not good. It's bad. It's really, really bad. This Amy Coney Barrett, Amy Coney Barrett was a judge for, you know how long she was a judge for? You know, less than 3 years. Less than 3 years. I just found this out today. And Ruth Bader Ginsburg, 13 years before she was nominated. This is not right. This is not how you do it. She's not experienced, let alone she's basically a fanatic for religion and puts that ahead of anything else. Not a good sign for somebody on the bench. And add to that the hypocrisy of the Republicans, putting somebody in the confirmation hearings while the election is going on, when 4 years earlier they said that was unacceptable. Of course, now they say, no, it's acceptable under certain circumstances, which they never said 4 years ago. Find me one person who backed that position up who said, yeah, we're against Obama's having a nominee, but if we got a nominee and this situation was this, and we had this control, then it would be perfectly acceptable. Nobody said that. That's why they're coming across as liars now. Omission. So, all of this, and the apparent inability of the Democrats to do anything about it. I'm really getting tired of hearing that. Democrats can't do anything about it.
There is a lot being done. Sheldon Whitehouse from Rhode Island today laid out a really interesting case on the logic of the funding behind...
The one guy who can never be president. President Whitehouse, it just would be ridiculous. He's the one guy with the worst name.
And I think also what's being brought out is that this is not just about abortion. There are many other cases that will be before the Supreme Court that her tendencies, I think... may put into jeopardy. And I think what Sheldon Whitehouse is saying is that this has been said. This is what the play is, that they would only nominate justices who would be activists in this way.
Right.
And so then, of course, RBG's activism is being called into question. But some points have been made about her having worked for men in front of men in her long career, whereas this judge does not have such a career and is really just fitting this power grab.
Well, it's incredible too when you look at the previous justices and how they were confirmed and the votes, sometimes almost unanimous, as in the case of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Now, what has changed? Obviously, the tone has changed. But the ideology shouldn't have changed that much. I mean, if Ruth Bader Ginsburg was being confirmed right now, every Republican would vote against her. So what exactly has changed that would make her unacceptable in their eyes? I saw Ted Cruz today questioning her, but he wasn't really questioning. He was more or less giving a statement, talking about how religion was the victim of some judicial ruling, and how no Republicans questioned this. He was referring to something a number of years ago. And he was inadvertently making the point that, yeah, Republicans have changed. They used to understand these things. They used to get what justice was about, separation of church and state. He's complaining that Republicans didn't complain about something that, in his eyes, hurt religious people. But obviously Republicans of that era did not see it that way. And now it's completely different. Now Republicans do see that. So that tells me, in Ted Cruz's opinion, in his description, that Republicans have totally changed their outlook on separation of church and state. And that is a real threat to our democracy. Thank you, Ted. Thanks for making that clear.
Yeah, and it becomes this undue influence of a specific faith, for one thing, and the wielding of it over people who perhaps do not necessarily believe at all in the same faith as the people that are trying to have their will be the law of the land,
mm-hmm.
especially changing things that have already been more or less settled.
Yeah, we've been through this. For God's sake, Roe versus Wade was the 1970s. Why? Why are we going back to this? Why are we going back into the 1950s? This is wrong. We should be moving ahead. And, you know, I'm not going to bemoan the entire hour because we have things to look forward to. And I want to look forward to positivity. And I think we are moving in the right direction. Yes, I know I'm frustrated that Democrats are constantly powerless. And I hope they learn how not to be powerless. When Biden is constantly being harangued over this court packing question, what he should be doing, in my opinion, is coming back saying court packing, the Supreme Court packing is going on right now. You're witnessing it. It's on TV right now. This attempt to pack the court with conservatives, rush them through, completely contradict yourselves. It's a false narrative to ask Joe Biden, are you going to pack the courts? This is what we are seeing right now. Why don't you address that? And then, once this is over, we can figure out what to do from that point. It's more or less what he's saying. I just think he's not saying it that well. But if the Republicans do something like this, obviously there has to be a reaction to it. There has to be a reaction to that. And there is nothing wrong with that. You would expect nothing less. So the ball is in their court right now. I would think, you know, if they suddenly grew a conscience and said, this is wrong, we're going to just withdraw this, pretend it didn't happen, let's wait for Election Day, figure it out after that. If they did that, I think there would be a strong case for not adding more justices to the Supreme Court. I think a lot of people would say, okay, we can work with this. But if they go ahead with this and they get away with it, guaranteed they will pay the price, and rightfully so. And I'll tell you, if they get away with this and that doesn't happen, then I'll blame the Democrats more than the Republicans for the situation we were in. So, we have, instead of a debate this week, we have dueling town halls. Oh, what fun that's going to be. Where candidates awkwardly parade themselves in front of voters, and they try to find the undecided voters that still aren't. I think they decided. I think they just want to be on TV. Really, I don't see how people cannot have decided by now who they favor. But each candidate has lined up a town hall of their own. Biden is going to be on ABC, I believe, in Philadelphia, starting at 8 p.m. And Trump is setting up a similar event on NBC, which, once again, will be in Miami. Okay, and they're going to be on at the same time? Is that really what's going to happen? That's how the debate's going to work? Oh, boy. That is weird. So we have that to look forward to and the remaining debate. But the real story is how Trump has dealt with his infection, the complete irresponsibility of just pretending that he's completely over it. He conquered it. It's not a big deal. Everybody should go out and get it. And 215,000 people dead. Let's move on to another topic. Back to having completely irresponsible mass gatherings where people don't keep socially distant, where they don't wear masks. And look at this. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who lifted all restrictions on the state's restaurants and bars 2 weeks ago, made a maskless appearance at Trump's rally yesterday. News footage shows a Republican lawmaker giving high fives to several members of the crowd before rubbing his nose, brazenly flouting the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's physical distancing recommendations and advice to not touch your face with unwashed hands. His decision last month to move Florida into the third phase of its reopening plan even allows stadiums to operate at full capacity without clearance from state officials, and he has long refused to enact a mask mandate. More than 15,000 people have died from the coronavirus in Florida, and he's responsible for every last one of them.
It's murderous.
Yeah, absolutely. These people really, really need to pay the price. And who are they kidnapping? They're kidnapping the governor of Michigan. I mean, come on. I'm not saying kidnap the governor of Florida. I'm saying imprison him for murder.
A foiled kidnapping.
But instead, the plot is about the governors who are mandating the socially responsible things to do. It's domestic terrorism. There is no other way to describe this. Failed plot to overthrow Michigan state government, kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer. And what do you think? You're not seeing it on TV all the time. Imagine if somebody affiliated with Black Lives Matter had been implicated in some kind of a plot to overthrow a government and kidnap somebody. Instead, they're being accused of having Marxist ideology because somebody who founded them considers themselves a Marxist. And that is the narrative that continues over and over again. We just had a thwarted plot to kidnap a governor and put her on trial and overthrow the government and start what they wanted to start, a race war. I mean, this is simply insane, and I don't understand why it isn't completely headline news all the time. There is also, that this hasn't gotten virtually any coverage whatsoever, but the accused conspirators who are charged in that plot to kidnap the Michigan governor also discussed taking Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, and that was revealed today at a court hearing by an FBI agent. During a hearing in Grand Rapids to discuss the charges filed last week against members of a self-proclaimed militia, and why is it called a militia? It's a terrorist cell, that's what it is. FBI Special Agent Richard Trask revealed that months ago some of the suspects met in Dublin, Ohio, where Northam, also a Democrat, was discussed as a potential target. At this meeting, they discussed possible targets, taking a sitting governor, specifically issues with the governors of Michigan and Virginia, based upon the lockdown orders. Based upon the lockdown orders, based upon trying to keep your citizens safe, to keep them from not getting a disease. I mean, this is some kind of bizarre world we're in right now, where that becomes the rallying cry for people to take to the streets.
This has been pointed out, but it was, I think, that the gym was closed, which set off one of the purported leaders and made him activate.
The gym's
closed. Wow. Yeah. I will say it is somewhat reassuring that this was foiled, and that it is the kind of thing that should be monitored, you know, that we should be aware of, and that agents and agencies are keeping an eye on, especially in the climate we're witnessing.
Yeah, but do you think Trump cares about this at all? He used this.
I don't think it matters.
He used this revelation to criticize the governor of Michigan. He hasn't really said anything about the terrorists. At all. Listen to this. Republican State House candidate Paul Smith, he's running for a county legislative seat, wrote that the terror plot was a totally bogus sham. These citizens never did anything illegal. Law enforcement is employed to punish people who commit crimes, not people the governess simply hates. These are comments Republicans are putting forth right now. A governor almost got kidnapped, put on trial, probably executed, and you're just going to go after the governor. You're not even going to criticize the people responsible for this. What is happening? What is happening to the Republican Party in this country? It's scary. And the reason I say it's scary is because these people are still going to be around. No matter what happens in November, people who think like this are still going to be here. Still influencing people. And we see it every day. We see the intimidation tactics that are being used in the streets with massive pickup trucks with their huge flags and just angry people and just the physical threatening. It's disgusting.
A lot of recklessness.
A lot of recklessness, yes.
Whether you're talking about COVID precautions, but also just driving and attitudes, the kind of behavior around socializing. I think that's been really enhanced or magnified under the circumstances with people not being around different people as much in the last couple of months, and it's aggravated by a lot of things, but I think that we should really be aware of how we're treating one another, really, like, and be maybe a bit more critical of that.
Well, we need to make sure that everybody who is not that is welcomed into our circles. You know, this is not the time for divisiveness. It's not the time for purity tests. Basically, there is a threat that is facing us that has never really faced us before. There's this fascist way of thinking, the threats of violence, and just the control of a minority against the majority. Because in every single case that you look at, they've masterfully used the rules of law to gain an advantage, even though they are small in number. Getting Trump elected in the first place, gerrymandering, basically all kinds of control that state legislatures take, even when things are overwhelmingly Democratic, Republicans are able to thwart that. We've seen a couple of times several times, where Democratic governors won an election and Republican legislatures vote to take away all the power from the governor before he takes power, leaving him essentially powerless, even though he was elected. We saw what happened in Florida, where convicted felons were overwhelmingly given the right to vote again by the people. And the Republicans the next year said, yeah, sure, except they have to pay every cent of every cost that we can come up with, making it virtually impossible for so many of them to accomplish that and to get what was granted to them, their right, taken away. Poll tax is basically what it is. And when somebody like Michael Bloomberg goes down there and says, you know what, I'm a billionaire, I'm going to donate all this money so that people can pay this off and vote. They investigate him as committing some kind of a crime. So, yeah, that is what is happening. We're seeing the will of the people constantly thwarted. And it's well thought out. It's very well thought out. And
it has historic roots.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it before. We should not be surprised. But we have to plan.
We're seeing all these people who are engaged in early voting right now. And by the way, fill out your damn ballot. You got your ballot in the mail a couple of weeks ago. I almost threw it out the other day. I'm saying that to everybody, not just you, Kyle. I'm saying it to everybody. If you have a ballot, fill it out, because Election Day will be upon us before you know it. And the mail, my God, what they are doing. But we're seeing people lined up all around the country. And what bothers me is the way that is being reported. It's so inspirational. It's a sign of how much people embrace democracy. They're willing to stand outside for 12 hours, 24 hours if necessary, because they care that much. They have the right to vote, and they're exercising the right to vote. So they will stand in a river for a full day if they have to. Because that is the... Why do they have to do this? Why in God's name? It's not even Election Day yet. Why are people waiting on these long lines? How does it not take 5 minutes to go in and vote if it's not even Election Day? This is voter suppression. When you make it this hard, this inconvenient, this insane to cast a ballot, I guarantee you, the well-off neighborhoods do not have to deal with this. This is not a sign of success. This is a sign of failure. And it's sending a message. It's sending a message saying, this is what you want to vote? This is what you're going to go through. Yeah, you're going to go through hell. We're going to make it hard on you. It's utterly disgusting what we're seeing. And in other places, we're also seeing these dirty tricks. For instance, in California, have you heard about this? Illegal ballot drop boxes are being placed by Republicans. Yeah, they say official ballot drop box. They literally say that on them, and they're not. They're not official at all. In Orange County, California, there are 116 voter drop boxes, 170 in-person vote centers available to residents for the 2020 election. Over the weekend, reports of several non-official ballot collection boxes were called out by the Orange County District Attorney's Office and Orange County Registrar of Voters, Neil Kelly. The Registrar's Office staff learned of the boxes over the weekend through social media posts. In Seal Beach, there was a report of one that was a cardboard box. More have cropped up across Southern California, with the majority being metal boxes claiming to be official collection sites. Now, the Republicans have been ordered to stop doing this. They have been ordered to stop doing this by the state authorities. They have refused. They say not only are we not going to remove these boxes, we're going to put more out. This is the kind of contempt for law that we are seeing right now. And they're claiming there's no law specifically saying that you can't do this. So basically, you need a law for every possible circumstance for it to be illegal in their eyes. You know, the way it works, you can give your ballot to a trusted person to deliver. That is how it's supposed to work. There is nothing that says you can set up your own mailbox to collect these things. It is not the same. It is not an official ballot box. And think about this. Because it's not an official ballot box, what's the penalty for destroying it? You know, you destroy an official ballot box, you better believe there's going to be some penalty for that. But an unofficial one? It's just a cardboard box. Yeah. What if you're able to get a bunch of people you know are voting in a way you don't want them to vote to fall for this? Pretty easy to just get rid of all those votes, isn't it? And this is happening all over the place. Outside of churches. Throughout the country, these boxes are showing up. You talk about voter fraud, election fraud, this is it. This is it, and it's the Republicans doing it every time.
Yet another reason I am not a Republican. But do what you want.
Well, that's a shock. Yeah. Here's the good news. Biden is leading Trump by 17 points.
It's 17 now?
Well, okay. This is the story I got from The Guardian. This is an Opinium research and Guardian opinion. But what is Opinium? I've never heard that before. I've never said that before. I mean, Kyle, do you favor Biden or Trump?
Why are you asking?
No, I'm asking. I'm just asking.
Do you?
No, I asked you first. You can ask me after I ask you.
I'm not going to say.
You're not going to say?
No.
Okay. Now ask me.
Do you like the president or
no,
the person that's going
to
replace him?
I would favor anyone to replace him, and since Biden is the person running, I would favor Biden.
Okay.
So our official off-the-wall poll says that Joe Biden has support, Donald Trump has no support, and undecided is 50%. That was these polls, that's what they mean. Opinium, I don't know what that is. I don't know how they did this, but 57% of likely voters intend to vote for Biden, while just 40% say they will vote for the incumbent president. It might mean something, it might mean nothing. You can't take polls that seriously. You can't depend on polls. Remember 2016. Everybody thought it was going to go a certain way. It didn't. It did go a certain way. It's just, again, Republicans used the rules to thwart the system. Now, this 17-point gap is even bigger than 57 to 41 margin that CNN found earlier this month in their poll. And it's just short of the lead in the popular vote that Ronald Reagan enjoyed in his second landslide victory in 1984. 4 years later, Democratic nominee Michael Dukakis led George H.W. Bush by 17 points, only to suffer defeat. Do you remember President Dukakis?
Not at all.
No, because he didn't exist. But that poll was taken in July, so Bush had ample time to recover. Trump has 3 weeks, and he's Trump. So not very likely that's going to happen. But all that said, we still have to think of the Senate. We have to think of the House. We have to think of the local races.
Stay hungry, voters.
We have to think of what needs to be fixed, how we're going to fix this, how we're going to keep the disease of hatred that is around us from spreading even further.
Yeah, how's your life right now, and who's got answers on how to improve it?
Democrats have, this is according to Newsweek, Democrats have an 83.5% chance of taking the Senate, as forecasts suggest clean sweep. This is one I really am uneasy even saying, because I don't think it's that high. I mean, I want it to be that high, but 83.5%? Forecast from Decision Desk, you see, that's what we should have called our poll, Decision Desk. Yeah.
Decision Desk.
Yeah, 50% undecided. That
off the ballot.
Would have been official then. Decision Desk gives the Democrats 83.5% chance of winning a majority in the Senate and 83.6% chance of defeating President Donald Trump and a greater than 99% chance of keeping the House. It sounds pretty rosy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So according to those predictions, the party could be in command of all three of these cornerstones of power in the United States following the upcoming elections. Okay, you know what? Let's say that happens. What's the plan? What's the plan for keeping that, for 2 years down the road, for there not being a backlash and we get right back into the same situation? And 4 years later, something else happening that puts Democrats at a disadvantage. Because guaranteed, there are going to be backlashes. And this is the kind of thing that Democrats don't seem to ever prepare for.
There will be successive backlashes if the Democrats win. We saw that with Obama, I mean, immediately.
But the thing is,
before he was elected.
And if you recall, this is what I was complaining about during the Obama years. We need to stick together. For instance, health care. If people hadn't been complaining about, I don't support health care because it doesn't go far enough. Well, you know what? That simply joined up with the people who didn't support health care because they didn't want health care. And that is why we got weak health care as a result. If we had stuck together and been strong and said, yeah, Obama's doing the right thing on this, might not agree with him on everything, doesn't mean I'm going to condemn him and call him an imperialist because he stands for a corrupt system. Yeah, okay, I get all that. But for God's sake, right now we have to take one step, not 20. And if we are able to band together, we can take those steps. This is what Republicans do. See, they have it very simple. It's my way. And screw everybody else. And when you say that, a lot of people who are equally close-minded will band together with you. Well, Democrats have to take a lesson from that. And they have to start saying, okay, this is the step we want to take. Is it the step I necessarily want to take? Not really, but it's a step in that direction. So either I support it or I don't. But if I don't, that means the step I really don't want to take has a better chance of getting more of a voice. That's what Democrats need to learn. I sure hope. And I'm seeing less of the pettiness of, third-party candidates and all that, which I once believed in, but not in this current situation, not in the current environment. I'm seeing less of that. There's no Jill Stein this year. And I'm thrilled about that, because that kind of a thing is not helpful at this stage. I'm not saying it's not something we should aspire to. We're not ready for it. We're not grown up enough to have multiple parties. I hope we get there. I really do. I hope we become a true democracy, because as Republicans will say, we're not a democracy. They have said that. And I've also seen many people analyzing this, who can do it so much better than I can, saying that Republicans aren't going to abandon conservatism. They'll abandon democracy. And many, many already have. NBA? Yes, quite a shift here. NBA finished its championship. And played the entire season, or the entire season since they resumed. Remember when we were in Brooklyn, I believe, when we got the news that the NBA had suspended its season?
Yes.
I think that was in March?
Yes.
And they resumed, played a miniature season, had their championship, and did the whole thing in a restricted access quarantine zone at Walt Disney World, became known as the bubble. And, you know, through all that, through all the 96 days and all the teams that played throughout that period, not one single case of COVID-19. Hey, the NBA should be running the country, I think. This is how you do it. This is all the proof you need. They played a season. They provided a basketball season to the world. They made it to a championship. It's not the way anyone really wanted it to go, but they did it. And they did it safely. It works. There is not one element of life that we can't do the same thing for. But when you have all these idiots walking around, refusing to wear masks, and basically doing everything they can to infect more people, what's the answer? What is the answer to that? I mean, you know, we see these demonstrations in Brooklyn now, where massive amounts of people are in the street chanting pro-Trump slogans and basically outraged that they can't go to their church or their synagogue. It is idiocy to the most extreme degree that I can even imagine. And it's not just in the United States anymore. It's in other countries as well. In Europe, people are having demonstrations. Demonstrations against what? Anti-restriction demonstrations. Well, those can only be described as pro-pandemic demonstrations, because it's what you're going to get. The Chinese port city of Qingdao, they had 12 coronavirus cases. They just got 12 cases. And they immediately made plans to test 9 million people in the coming 5 days. 9 million people in 5 days. They've already done 3 million. This is what we need. This is the kind of attention that we need paid to this. There's no debate. And yeah, of course, it's a dictatorial regime. There really isn't much debate usually. But in this situation, that is the right approach.
They have a plan to survive.
And they will. Just like the NBA. Yeah, China's like a massive NBA. So that's how you deal with situations like this. It's tougher in a democracy. Not that we're a democracy, but when people are debating, going back and forth, hey, have the debate, have the conversation, but you got to follow the guidelines. And that's not the government speaking. That's the people speaking. And most people get that. But again, we're powerless. We're powerless because of the minority. Minority of people that want to do it their way or no way. And what do we do about that? Well, we have to figure out what to do about that.
For the time being, we're powerless. Big quotations. But is the census over?
The Supreme Court just ended the census.
Did they?
They said they ended it for now. I don't know what that even means. Yeah, against...
So old Wilbur
against,
got his way?
Apparently.
Shame.
Yeah, and that's without the newest inductee. All right, it's... Wait a minute. No, this is wrong. Hold on. Stop.
Oh, yeah, it was such a good movie. Then.
I turned it off. I'm sorry, folks. It shouldn't have happened. No, we didn't get to see the film this week. We've been too busy. Yeah, and in fact, we're up to 1982, the Academy Award-winning films that we're going through. We can't find the foreign one. It's unobtainable. I don't know what I'm going to do to get that, but we're kind of stuck in the mud right now until we find that film, the Spanish film, and I don't know. We'll figure it out. But it's not something to worry about right now. our struggle carries on.
¿Dónde está film? 1982 Best Picture? Wow, that'll be great.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, we'll begin the hunt for that.
No, I've begun the hunt. I've been hunting for a week and haven't come up with anything.
Oh, no, I was just saying everybody else that's going to bind together and help in the search.
Yeah, I don't have the title in front of me, but I'm sure you can just look up 1982 Academy Award. The year is 1982. The ceremony took place in 1983, so, yeah, that's the film we're looking for.
Well, the collective consciousness will probably find it immediately, so I have faith.
Yeah, or just the piracy community will find a copy for us. Well, it's not available anywhere else. What are we supposed to do? It's ridiculous. All right, hey, we're out of time. I don't know how that hour went by so fast. I'm going to continue stressing out over my stress test, and that's why they call it a stress test, you know, because you stress out over it. And we'll see how that goes, and all kinds of other things. Write to us, otw@2600.com. If you've got your ballot, fill it out. If you're going to vote early, go ahead and do it. And don't take any crap from anybody. Look out for the injustice. Report on it. Let people know. Remember, you're not alone. And when victory comes, let's make sure we have a plan so that we don't ever have days like this again. Till next week.
Bye-bye.
I've been taught to respect my elders and behave. Even if when they were young, they sold slaves. Truth and understanding is what I crave in the land of the thief. Home of the slave. Turn your page to a brief demonstration. It's now in 90, it's strictly information I'm giving. Teaching on a regular basis. Today's lecture is about the racist. We're not out to exaggerate or diss them, but show the symptoms and facts of racism. Understand, the racist ain't equal. There's about five different types of racist people. First of the five different types of cases is the individual brought up racist. Here you have young men and women brought up in the great white way opinion. This opinion introduced by the parents to the civilized becomes transparent. The civilized man could look through the faces, make the analysis and see the races. Number two case which all must hear is the individual racist out of fear. Here you have people that fear the African and conjure up new ways of trapping them. Number three is the unconscious racist. Not knowing their race, they invade his face. They say, I'm not a racist, I'm not a bigot. Yet they allow us to go on and won't admit it. Number four is the money racist. The one that used the topics of sheer economics. They say, owning a business is for the black man. He don't want that, yet they went and took his land. Damn, that's like a rock in a hard place. You don't have your land, yet this ain't your place. America was built by every other race except the European. It runs this place. What a waste. America's doomed to be overthrown by the righteous real soon. But last but not least, racial prejudice is the black man speaking out of ignorance. Whitey bitch and Ching Chow that. It's not how the intelligent man acts. You can't blame the whole white race for slavery, cause this ain't the case. A large sum of white people died with blacks, trying hard to fight racial attacks. The media wants you to think that no white really fought and died for civil rights. But once we have a true sense of history, you'll see this too is a mystery. If black and white didn't argue the most, they could